now entering
the Horror Sanctum.
Hello, and welcome back to the Horror Sanctum podcast. I'm Jay with John, Kellen, and TJ. And this week, we are also joined by our pals Corey Keelan and Richard Yule, two-thirds of the Madcap 3 Entertainment, who put on one of our favorite cons, FrankenCon, which is coming up May 11th and 12th in Alcoa, Tennessee. Guys, welcome to the Sanctum.
Hey, thanks for having us.
Yeah, it's awesome to be here again.
So I was wondering, just starting out, I know both of you guys, this is, I believe it's your third year doing this, right? Is that correct?
Third year is a charm.
Feels like the 30th, but yes.
What would you say is some of the biggest, like, I guess, hurdles, lessons you've learned going third year? You've probably figured out a lot of stuff, but I was just curious, you know, like, doing a horror con, what's something you've taken away, you know, going into this third year?
I just laugh because it's just so funny. Me and Corey are both like, I mean, I feel like we're learning things right now too. Biggest takeaway, it's very hard to put on a convention. And it's, you know, it is, it's just, it, I mean, I've been going to cons since like 2001, Corey's around there. And, I mean, I kind of knew the gist of it, and I set up at some cons, and so I kind of knew things, but just to have to deal with like every aspect of a convention is a lot more daunting than I probably realized. I mean, there's just so many. It is like juggling chainsaws. That's my new thing, is like, I just feel like I'm juggling chainsaws all the time. There's something always going on. As soon as we announce, even before we announce the dates or anything, you're just balls to the wall. Like, there's always something that has to be done. Somebody's always emailing you. I mean, yeah, that's my big takeaway, Corey. What do you got, buddy?
So
same. Much of the same.
Yeah, I mean, Richard's, I mean, he's, what he said is on the money, but I think, you know, I think, and this is like not just the con, but like as I grow up as an adult and as a father and as a professional in my other career, I have realized that like nobody knows what's going on. None of us know all the answers. If you think you do and you pretend you do, you're delusional. And so I think what we're having to learn, to Richard's point, is every day we're having to learn to give grace to ourselves, give grace to others, and just sort of go with the flow, because things are literally changing from second to second. And if you just get bogged down on like one little hiccup, it's going to be a very miserable time, you know?
You kind of have to make quick, tough decisions too. Like, you never would think you'd have to tell somebody from a movie that you liked, or a legend that people like, that you would never think you would have to tell them no, but you know, in order to make things run smoothly, like, we've had to tell people no, that it makes me very sad. And you know, we're a small con. I mean, it may not look like we're a small con, but we are for sure a small con. Yeah, I always say we're a small con cosplaying as a big con.
Well, I think though, y'all do a great job and you get unique guests. I mean, I really was impressed with you guys getting all the TCM, some of that crew this year from the original Texas Chainsaw Massacre. I'm curious about that. Were there certain people that in theory may be on the bucket list later for that, or you hoped to get in, or you wanted to get in? I know sometimes it's hard with that movie because so many people have passed, and you know, it's tricky, right? Finding that crew. I wonder what that experience was like getting all of them.
Corey's bucket list is over, so he doesn't get one, because his bucket list was Linnea, Michelle, and Brink.
That was, yeah, I wanted them from like minute one of starting this whole thing. And then,
right after Joe, Bob, and Darcy.
Right, like I got Joe, Bob, and Darcy and Nigel, and I was like, cool, I did it. I'm all done. It's all autopilot from here. And then, you know, the next question, when we did an interview with Kevin Hoover from Rue Morgue, he's become a friend and supporter of the con and everything. Super cool guy. And in that interview, before the freaking first con even started, he asked you who your dream guests are beyond what you booked. And I said, Linnea, Michelle, and Brink. And then year two, we did it. So I'm spoiled in that way.
Year three.
Oh, I have no idea, man.
No, this is year three.
Oh, I mean, year four. Oh, yeah. Year three. Yes. I forgot year two even happened. It was really fun, but man.
Well, that was done by a different people, Bride of Frank Condos.
Yeah, that was some jerks.
Yeah, I thought you guys were ever so big going to go to like the sun and the whatever other things of FrankenCon.
Well, what happened with that? Well, so Sun of FrankenCon was always reserved for something else that me and Corey probably will never agree on. But honestly, and I'm hokey. Like, I love the cheese factor. Like, we noticed that people thought Bride of FrankenCon and FrankenCon were two different things.
So it was a branding thing.
So it was a branding thing. As much as I hate it that we did it. Like this year was going to be FrankenCon 3D.
Yeah.
Because, like, you know, horror movies, part threes are always 3D. And we were going to try to delve in, get some 3D people. But, you know... We're trying to keep with that with our like t-shirt designs and the design of our logos for every year from here on out. But it'll always be FrankenCon 2024, FrankenCon 2025, whatever.
It was like not hard. Like at first I was really behind this whole like every year is a different title. Mm-hmm. And then I went to a con, I think it was Days of the Dead in Atlanta. And I was wearing, I don't even remember what shirt it was. It was the FrankenCon shirt or the Bride or whatever. And they're like, oh, do you know you do the Bride of FrankenCon. Do you know the FrankenCon people? I'm like, okay. So when Richard and Matt and I talked about it, we're like, I didn't fight it at all. I was like, nope, good idea. Let's roll.
I'm the one that said it for like, I mean, when me and Corey were having like immediate conversations right after last year, I mean, I'm the one that brought it up because it was a branding thing. I mean, and it's very, you know, people are already confused enough. We don't need to add to that.
I want to bring more people in, not alienate more people. So
I'm not sure if we ever answered the Texas Chainsaw Massacre question, but
I don't think we did wrong. Either.
Well, yeah, I was just really, yeah, it's weird because there's not many people left. And the only person that doesn't do a lot of cons I never see is like Kim Hinkle. And I don't even know if Kim Hinkle ever does cons anymore. That's kind of a.
I think Hinkle has, but it's for this 50th anniversary, right? So, like, they're doing, like, Texas Frightmare and big cons. We wanted more. We tried. We reached out to several, but, you know, you can only kind of do. I mean, I'd rather have one than none, and we got three, so... And, you know, we have John Dugan back. He was at the first con. And then adding William Vail and Alan Danziger is really cool. And then them doing we're doing a screening of the movie with them doing the intro and talking about it and stuff. So I'm very glad that we are supporting that movie, you know, that it's so near and dear to a lot of our hearts. That we can do something for the 50th, if not a, like a full reunion, you know, we can at least put most of it together.
I mean,
is that kind of the goal this year? You kind of have two reunions there really three with Thanksgiving too. Was that a goal you guys set out for? Like to get something like where, hey, you can get three people in one picture, you know, like something like that, like with Linnea and Brink and then TCM.
I mean, the truth of the matter is on my thinking and things is that, I mean, that's kind of where cons are going in a way. If you pay attention to any con, especially the big ones, like reunions are where it's at. I mean, it's a cool thing, right? You can take one movie poster and you can get like, you know, well, 20 names if you're a Terrifier 2 fan. But, you know, so it's just cool if you can offer people the most people from one movie. There's also some downsides to that. I mean, whereas it's tough to get people, you know, like from it's like herding cats sometimes. Just in general, a con is very much like herding cats. Mm-hmm. But, you know, so trying to get, you know, all the people that you want and such. But me and Corey have had recent conversations where, you know, maybe next year won't be as reunion heavy, or maybe it will. We never really know. Sometimes things just kind of happen and we just go with the flow.
So, I mean, I think the biggest risk you run with a reunion is like, say, and we've had this happen already in 3 years. Like if you have a reunion of two or more people and you lose the main person, there's very little incentive to keep the other cast, right? Like it's going to be a tougher sell with some exceptions, but it's going to be a tougher sell. And Richard and I talked about this earlier, you know, when you take something like a Scarefest, like that has something like 80 celebrities and you have three reunions, that's like a very small fraction of your guest list. With FrankenCon, we have a maximum of what, I mean, we ended up with actually more than we set out to book, but three reunions is like over 50% of our actual guest list. So it's really tough if you book a reunion for something that you love, but like there's not that big core audience for it. You know, it's kind of tough. You're putting all your eggs in a basket, like a single basket. And it's riskier, but I like it. I mean, I want to get posters signed. We're fans like everybody else, you know, like we're still getting our crap signed and buying, you know, little Frankensteins and whatever. And, you know, we're doing the same stuff everybody else is. So,
yeah, that kind of speaks to me about how from day one, it seems like your con has kind of been branded as more of the cult horror, the more niche people you wouldn't necessarily see at other cons. Or if you do see them at other cons, maybe they get more of a prominent spot at your con. So it's a different vibe. How much of that is just you guys' individual sensibilities versus how much of that is like budgetary concerns?
Good question.
I mean, to me, it's a little bit of both. I mean, from the get-go, like, I mean, you see the shirt Corey's wearing. I mean, not many people know Just Frankie.
Yeah, yeah.
So, like, we're fans of,
I think most
like,
of us do, except maybe Kellen. I don't know about Kellen.
You know. Come on. You know that I have no idea who that is.
I'm going to hook Kellen up at FrankenCon. I'm going to give him something to watch.
Okay.
God. I'm sorry. I'm sorry, Kellen.
Oh, you're good. It's good.
It can't be worse than John making me watch Things.
Oh, absolutely not. No way, dude. No, this is smart.
How do you feel about erotic I don't know.
I've seen a Serbian film, if that answers your question.
Oh, well, this
was sold at erotic.
I mean, the thing with Jess Franco is they're just like kind of sleazy, and
they're Skinamax with a horror twist.
Yeah.
Erotic Nazi exploitation, erotic vampire lesbianism. I mean, just put erotic and then something in that. Got the gamut.
So, I mean, I think, what was the question? Oh, the
cult.
Oh, so yeah, so we're fans of it. So, I mean, does it help budget? Honestly, not really. I mean, just because it can just depend on so many factors, but, really it's a conscious effort with us, right? Like there's a few cons out there, Cult Classic Con, which I really want to go to. I got to figure out how to get there one day.
Yeah.
Where is that?
Business trip. We'll take a business trip.
Well, does the business have to make money in order to do trips?
That would be great.
Where is Cult Classic? I want to give them a shout out. Let's see.
I think there's one down in Louisiana, right?
Yes, yes, that's where this year. I don't know if it switches around so much, but the one this year is Cult Classic 24. Yeah, Baton Rouge, August 10th and 11th. So that con does a lot of very similar things that we do. And I didn't even know that con existed until we started doing cons. So, but it, we definitely like doing the things that, are not well, as well versed by mainstream, maybe, let's say.
I think, and I think, you know, what we've seen is that some of the, like, let's just say cultier stars or whatever, I think that they do perform better in a setting like FrankenCon than they do at somewhere gigantic like Texas Frightmare or something, where there's, you know, 30,000 people or whatever, and there's sort of drowned out by, no offense to anybody, like Nev Campbell or someone huge, you know, like, so I mean, it sort of, I don't think the budget thing comes in quite as much, but
I don't think so either, really.
You have to have a budget, but I think, you know, there's quote unquote like top tier stars that you can get for the same like financial liability as you can somebody that played this one background actor in whatever, you know. But that's the stuff that excites us. It's not just necessarily being different for the sake of being different, but also like, you know, like Frank Saladino has done like one other convention before.
Mm-hmm.
FrankenCon, that was like what, 2008
or 2009
or something, like, you know, like a long time ago. He doesn't do conventions. You know, I don't know how many Brian Bremer had done before the first FrankenCon.
I think yours was the fifth one, he said,
and it went great. You know what I mean? It's just the vibe.
Then like Gabriel Davenport from Thanksgiving, this is his first one.
So unless someone books him in the next 32 days.
I don't think that I mean, I've been keeping track.
Yeah. See, Richard's stalking him. So, I mean, it's exciting to like see a guest list that's not at every single convention, you know, and no offense to the people who make the rounds and do great, because they're awesome too. You know, like we love Felissa Rowe.
We had her last year.
We've had her to two different things now.
Yeah.
And
CJ Graham, I mean,
would have him back in a heartbeat, because he's the sweetest background. Don't
CJ is so he, yeah, I do. I have him and Tom behind me. CJ is CJ and Tom, super nice. CJ is really awesome. We'd love to have CJ back again.
I mean, there's some cool ones this year. Like, I mean, Alan Danziger, that's pretty awesome. I mean, even, you know, I know we're talking about a cult, but just having people from Texas Chainsaw is pretty incredible now. I mean, because people will argue this, but that's the best horror movie ever made. I mean, it's the pinnacle, you know, so it's pretty cool to get some of those guys, because I know they do some cons, but I don't think it's a lot, really, you know?
I mean, this year,
I won't argue it. He's right. John is correct.
I am pushing an agenda.
It's a top 10. It's a top 10. I think we can all pretty much agree on that.
This year, they're doing the rounds for sure because of the 50th anniversary. But if you notice, you know, they're not doing full reunions at some of the smaller shows like ours. So we are very grateful to even have three, you know, of the main cast at our show, you know. So
I think I'm most pissed about the Thanksgiving thing, but because I mean, not even a year into the film being released, I mean, you were like on top of that. You guys must have been booking before the movie even come out.
No. actually it was, I think it was after I'd seen the movie, I'm pretty sure, is when I found the contact. And it's an agent we've worked with before, Isaac Kane, and with 1031 appearances. Yep. And, you know,
and a lot of these people have the same agents for con booking and stuff. So I imagine that's helpful.
That's a whole other podcast. I've threatened to Corey that when I want to write a book, And then when I die, they're just going to release it. And it's just going to spoil, you know, just
the biggest problem is a lot of them have multiple agents.
Yeah.
So there will be like one agent and he or she will have, you know, Felissa. And then another agent will have Felissa. And then another agent, like they'll have five booking agents at different parts of the country. And wires will get crossed. And then it's like, you know, herding cats, as Richard would say.
Do people ever double book and then have to come back and cancel or something like that?
I mean, yes. It's happened each year.
Yeah. Oh, wow.
It's happened both years. It did not happen for this year. Yet.
the Thanksgiving thing is kind of interesting though. Like, I think that Alex had been booked for Days of the Dead before the movie came out. And so they said, we're not going to tell you who we booked, but it's the killer from Thanksgiving.
Yeah, we don't want to spoil it. And I guess they probably didn't know either, but like they didn't. Well, I don't want to ruin the movie, I guess, but they didn't get a certain McDreamy person.
Yeah.
But I mean, and that's no shade or nothing. I mean, me and Corey are careful about how we word things.
Well, we are. We've seen some advertising for guests that was very misleading. And I was like, if we ever do this, can we curse on here?
Yeah.
Oh yeah.
Slap the shit out of me. Like, that's not cool. Like, and there's nothing. Look, we're stoked about Alex Armbruster. Okay. Like,
oh fuck yeah.
He is the dude doing these cool ass kills in this movie. And he also did a bunch of other stuff like Shazam and,
isn't
he some DC character with a bunch of tattoos and stuff? Or maybe it's
I'd have to look. I can't remember, but I mean, he's a stunt man. So, and he does a lot of stuff out of Atlanta. Thanksgiving wasn't filmed there, I don't think, but
no, it was Canada.
Yeah. I'm imagining it was, cause that's where 90% of the cast is from. Right.
All them dudes are Canadian.
but I told Corey, like when I found out, like, I wanted Alex really bad. Like, I just thought it would be a really good fit for us. And, you know, the movie's great. I mean, it's a mainstream movie, but man, that movie does some not mainstream stuff in it. And so, you know, we had Alex, we got Gabriel, and we got Karen basically all at the same time. And unfortunately, Karen's had to back out. Yeah. But we still have Gabriel, who played Scuba, who's my favorite character in the movie, really, as far as the heroes go.
I think he's Eli Roth's favorite character, too.
I love him. And I mean, he's a final boy. So, you know, that's cool.
Yeah, you don't get many of those.
He's like the interactions we've had with him and things he sent us and stuff. He just seems like he's going to be a cool guy.
His promo video's the best.
Yeah. Like, so, people are, that's another thing. Frank and Con needs to be known for booking people that like provide attendees a good experience, right? Like, if you go to Brian Bremer's table, you're not going to walk away going, what a shithead. You're not. You're going to walk away like, Brian's the best. You know, right. Like, I want people to like come to the con and have a good time and, you know, walk away with stories and not just be like, well, it was just an autograph mill and I'm pissed off because I had to pay $80 to get an autograph, you know.
Yeah, you guys carefully select like genuinely cool people that are cool to fans, which is,
I mean,
not
some
always
of it is luck, you know, some of it is like we don't know. Some of it is we don't know the people, but you know, you try to get to know people through other cons or agents or whatever. And I really do think if you're cool to people, people are cool to you. And it doesn't just stop at the guests, right? Like, it's the attendees too. Like, we have the best attendees, and you know, I mean, and we're out there, you know, I mean, some cons you'll never see the showrunners or whatever, but we're out there. I mean, you know, we want to talk to people and hang out as much as we can. The best
and
place
shop.
To do that
I
is
like
in
to shop.
Yeah.
I get about 30 minutes each convention to shop.
Best place to, I see Corey like the first year. I know he's coming around the corner and he's just got like his arms just full of stuff. And I'm like, what are you doing? He's like, I haven't shopped all weekend.
it was like supermarket sweep. I think I spent like $300 or $400 in 15 minutes.
That's an easy thing to do.
It's like the Toys R Us thing everybody always wanted to have, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
So my last question before throwing it to Kellen, and this is for each of you guys. What is each of you guys one like your white whale of a guest you want to get for a future con?
I mean, I'll go just because I think I have mine. I mean, I think in that magazine interview that Corey was talking about, I think I said like Robert Englund, and I mean any of those would be great. You know, I mean, my gosh, but I mean, right now, well, honestly, it's probably Eli Roth. I mean, since I'm on the Thanksgiving kick, I'm a huge Hostel fan. Like Hostel and Hostel 2, really important to me. Green Inferno, and just Eli's like love for horror movies. Probably Eli. If I'm thinking, but
I think last year you said Brad Dorff. I'm pretty sure.
Yeah. The Child's Play thing, man. I would love. And now I'll tell you this much. I met Fiona Dorff at Scarefest, and you want to talk about somebody who will instantaneously make you smile? It is that woman right there. Like,
yeah, she was fantastic.
My gosh. I mean, and I wasn't even going to get her autograph, but I volunteered at Scarefest, and I was walking around, and everybody had basically left, and there were a few celebrities around, and I was like, well, I just won't get anybody. And then I stopped, and I was talking to somebody, and we were just happened to be a few feet away from, or, you know, 10, 20 feet away from Fiona Stable, and I just sat there and watched her with people, and I was like, I got to get her autograph, man. I got to meet her, and she was great. She's awesome. So, I mean, a Child's Play reunion would be awesome for me. Like Child's Play 2 specifically, like, is one of my favorite movies of all time. Certainly my teenage years. But yeah. Corey, so now you're up.
They have to be alive, I guess. Like,
it's because if not, it's Jess Franco or Andy Sedaris.
Oh man. Andy Sedaris is great. Not horror at all, but, I don't know that I'd want to meet Jess Franco, to be honest. I think he'd be a little too heady for me, and he smoked way too many cigarettes. I met her at Scarefest last year, but Amy Steele, from Friday the 13th Part 2, is my favorite final girl.
April Fool's Day.
And from April Fool's Day. It was great, great movie. She was very sweet and took pictures with my wife and I, and she was signing the autograph, and she started signing it, and then she said, is it okay if I put a cuss word on here? And she looked at me and smiled, and I thought, sure. She had already written it, you know, there's someone in this fucking room, you know. And so my wife understood what was going on. I didn't, but yeah, Amy Steele. Steve Miner would also be awesome.
The director of that movie, right?
Yeah, and Lake Placid.
Yeah. So, a lot of people sleep on that.
Oh, I'll add one, Peter Cowper, who was the Miner in
The original.
My Bloody Valentine. The original, yeah.
I have a request for 1 year, and I never see this guy anymore, Don Coscarelli.
Yes.
I don't know how often anyone tries for him, but that would be a big one, a cool one.
I feel like he's a little 45
years. 45 years of Phantasm this year.
That's right. That's right. 79.
And Scarefest has already added. Scarefest added one Phantasm.
Coscarelli just did a signing, I think. I want to say at like Dark Delicacies or something. I just don't think he goes very far, but I would watch. I have no insider information about this, so Brandon, Adrian, sorry. I would keep an eye on Scarefest's page, though.
Okay.
I mean, they do have a Phantasm person, so.
And Brandon's I'm like, gonna that's guess his favorite movie, so.
This is true.
So, you mentioned, Richard mentioned Chucky, and before I forget, I have a Child's Play related story to share real quick.
Oh, fun.
So, the first horror movie I remember watching was Child's Play with my mother. And so, my sister's 6.5 years younger than me. I watched it when I was probably 7, so she was a baby. I get a My Buddy doll for Christmas that year from my Uncle Derek. I thought it was the greatest thing ever. Had it, played with it. He was my go-everywhere buddy. We'd wrestle. But as my sister got older, when she got to about that age, 7 years old, she saw Chucky and realized, oh my God, it's the same doll in the house. Even though if you look at them side by side, they're not identical at all, but it kept freaking her out. So my parents would hide my buddy doll throughout the house in random places to keep my sister from finding it. And she kept finding it. Like our bottom step had a little, the front would fall down sometimes because it wasn't nailed up and she had him hidden there. So she thought Chucky was trying to reach out and grab her from her feet. Put him in the hall closet at the very top. My sister never goes in the hall closet. Well, she decides to go in. He's at the top hanging down, looking at her. She freaked out. So my parents asked me, like, can we get rid of the My Buddy doll for your sister? I was like, absolutely. Like, okay, we've got this burn barrel. We're going to put the My Buddy doll in the burn barrel and have her stand and watch so she can see that he's gone. So do this whole big thing. They take him out. They put him in the burn barrel. My sister's standing on the back porch of our house. My dad lights it. It's burning. Well, apparently his plastic head swelled up and exploded and shot embers like 20 feet in the air. And my sister, oh my God, Chucky's still trying to kill me. She did not calm down for an hour. So that was the life and death of my Chucky doll.
You should have played that little audio of give me the power, I beg of you.
So I'm gonna change the direction here real quick. I'm gonna do a kind of lightning round. I'm gonna ask y'all 5 questions. Just top of your head, give me your answers, okay?
Okay.
So
let's do it.
First question. Favorite horror character?
Otis from Devil's Rejects.
Captain Spaulding from House of 1000 Corpses.
Number 2, favorite horror franchise?
Or he's gonna say Halloween.
Hell no, I'm not.
He loves 4, 5, and 6 and Halloween Kills and Ends. Oh man, he just talks about them all the time. Man, I'll just say Saw, but I've watched those movies recently. Yeah, that's all I'll say.
Friday the 13th. There's like just way you don't want explanations anyway. Friday the 13th. Yeah.
All right, number 3, name a movie that doesn't get enough recognition.
No, looking at your shelf, Richard.
What movie do I own?
Don't look behind me. Don't look behind me.
Where you go?
Doesn't get enough recognition.
I'm gonna say Leprechaun 4 in space.
What about Back to the Hood?
I've never seen that one.
You know, the Leprechaun movies always pissed me off because it's one of those ones where like it's like I hate all of the people. I want the Leprechaun to win in every single one of them. Mm-hmm. All he literally was like, just give me back my gold, and they're just like, of course he's gonna murder them. They could have
Back to the Hood. He does a nice little rap. That's nice.
I mean we talked about it earlier, but I think like the first Phantasm, because it's weird and it's real good.
Awesome. Number 4, name a movie you think is overrated.
Oh, mine's Halloween, the original John Carpenter.
Oh shit, get out of here.
Yeah, I mean, I do not agree with him on this. Like the first
that's when everybody exited out of this episode.
That franchise is rife with bullshit, but that first one's fire. Oh man. I generally don't believe in the concept of overrated, to be honest with you, because I'm usually like things are rated the way they should be, or they're underrated. Shit.
Talk to Me. That's mine, if anyone cares.
What is it?
Oh,
Talk to me.
I haven't seen it. I want to see it.
This isn't a shot at Jay or anything, but Skinamarink. Like, people were talking about how great that freaking... It's unwatchable, dude.
That's the absolute perfect description. Unwatchable.
Un-effing watchable, bro.
Terrible.
I think
it should have been a five-minute movie.
That movie got a steelbook before what was the movie, John? True Lies. Before True Lies ever got a Blu-ray release, Skinamarink got a steelbook.
Yeah.
All right, last question. What horror movie are you most excited for this year?
Oh shit. Can I Google?
Yeah, yeah, no
I
shit.
I don't know what's coming out.
Maxine trailer drop.
Oh, well, it
looks amazing.
So I've been told not to watch it, but that was by somebody else that didn't watch it. But they know that I hate trailers because they usually ruin movies. Maxine's a good one. I mean, that for horror, I mean, that might be mine. I mean, I do love the Saw movies, so maybe even though I hated Saw X, maybe they can do something with Saw 11. I don't know.
Oh God. I mean, I'm take the cheap way out and go with Maxine. Cause I mean, I think the first two have been amazing, and I also want to watch Immaculate, but it's already out, and I'm just slow to watch new movies. Unfortunately.
Next time we do this, Kellen, we need to make them drink while they think. So everybody will have to have a beer.
Y'all, it's go. Monday, dude. Like,
hey, Richard, we're going
to. It's 2024 and the whole world is on fire. I think you can get drunk on a Monday.
Right. It was the eclipse day. We could have all died anyways. Richard, I'm just curious, why didn't you like the last Saw movie?
Why didn't I like it?
Why you didn't like it, yeah.
Is that Spiral?
Because no. I think, for me, I think okay. The.
I didn't see that one yet.
Because I don't like that it was in between 2 and 3.
Yeah, I didn't
know they're all like 20 years older.
So I, yeah.
Is that the one where he has his hat backwards
or
whatever?
No, that's actually like 6.
Oh.
Hello, fellow young people.
Yeah. So I watch, that's my favorite. So me and my buddy, we rewatched the whole franchise last year and in excitement for X. And, I just realized that, like, Saw 3 was my favorite of all time. For a long time, that was my favorite horror movie. And then I realized that maybe it's not. And I realized that, like, 4, 5, and 6 are way better than 1, 2, and 3. They're more cohesive. It's a better story. I think 6 is probably the best Saw. So
I
feel
like that's a hot take. That series ended for me after 3. When spoiler
most
alert,
people
he actually
did, yeah.
Died.
yeah, most people it does, but 6 is awesome because I think it's got the most compelling reason of why the people are kidnapped. Because they all work for the insurance.
That's the insurance. Oh, okay.
Yeah, they all work for the insurance company that turned him down.
That's the problem with that franchise for me is I can't. Aside from 2 having the needle hole in the floor and 3 being where he died, I can't really remember what's going on. Can I add one more overrated movie and sure. It might get some hate clicks. Terrifier 2.
No,
thank you. Yes.
Son of a how dare you.
Overrated.
I agree.
For your besties now. Yeah.
I agree.
Very
I agree.
Overrated.
You it's fine, but it is overrated. I
clip
here,
like
yeah.
Clip 45 minutes
yes.
out of that movie.
It needs yep. to be a 90-minute movie.
I haven't yes. seen it.
The first
just
one
went
is
off the rails
awesome.
And crashed into a wall.
I love the first one.
I knew somebody. I knew, you know, chances are, you know, 1 in 4.
Chances are it's probably me. I'm probably the most fucked up one out of all of us. But it's a comfort movie for me. Honestly, like that and House of 1,000 Corpses. Like those are like my 2 go-to horror feel good. If I'm bummed out, that's what I'm putting on.
I love House of 1,000
Corpses. Away.
Hold on, we gotta grab some.
I was curious about something too. With your guest list and when you guys are stacking up guests,
beautiful.
Yes. That is awesome. Do you, as far as like you stack up your guests and you're approaching the event, Do you in your mind have sort of like a plan B of like, if some people cancel, we can maybe pivot and hopefully ask these amount of people, or do you just say, hey, we're going to roll with whatever happens?
No, I mean, for sure, like you make connections throughout the year and you have agents. And so we're always looking at, you know, the agents that we have, who do they have? I mean, we've kind of learned the past 2 years that, oh, you need those glasses, Corey.
Because I love it. So he didn't wear those in the first one. I really like the first, like the first one.
I really like Terrifier. That's sort of why I haven't watched the second one.
Somebody mentioned Art the Clown.
Ooh, underrated movie. Winnie the Pooh, Blood and Honey. Great movie. I love it.
Great. I need to watch that because John apparently loved the second one.
It is great. Second one, I want to see
the second one so bad. It was only in the theater for 3 days, and I chose Late Night with the Devil.
I can't believe I'm saying it. Seen it.
You chose right.
I'm the only one who's seen it until the last 2 weeks. When you,
I only saw the first Blood and Honey like 2 months ago, I think, and I was on Peacock now. Yeah, it's great. And I mean, it's a great homage to the early 2000s, I feel.
Yeah, the second one I can't believe I'm saying this. It's actually a really good movie. They actually filmed it really well. Like can't believe I'm saying that about Winnie and the Pooh Blood and Honey, but it really is good. Yeah.
Well, get ready for the Pooniverse.
Yeah.
Pooniverse. Kellen, I'm getting more of a Kurt Cobain vibe with your cardigan.
That's true. Yeah.
The cardigan?
It's the cardigan. It's
my cardigan's name is Cardi B.
You know, she has the number 2 OnlyFans in the world. Do you know that?
Why do you know that?
I read an article on LinkedIn about the top 20 OnlyFans. She has number 2.
I'm sorry, y'all. I'm sorry.
Why do people sign up for OnlyFans? Porn is free.
I don't know.
Megan, come get your man. Come get your man.
I'm just saying, it doesn't make sense in 2024. You can find
before we take a deep dive into porn, we're going to end the episode. So that's it for this week. Be sure to subscribe to our YouTube channel, to wherever you're listening to this podcast. Follow us on Instagram, follow us on TikTok, and join our group on Facebook. Come back next week. We're talking about Late Night with the Devil. You had a month in advance to watch it. It's on Shudder. Watch that. And come listen to our episode. Guys, thank you so much for joining us. Go give FrankenCon. Follow on Instagram and Facebook as well. And you guys want to take a second, give everybody the details where they can get tickets.
Yeah. FrankenConTN.com. And that's where you can get tickets to photo ops and see all the guests that we've got coming. And you can look up FrankenConTN on Instagram, Twitter, and Facebook, and you can check out Frank and Con on TikTok. So yeah, appreciate y'all having us on.
Absolutely. And like we went last year, we're going back this year. We had a lot of fun. Last year you guys let us do an interview with Brian Bremer and Honey. Oh, and that was something I was gonna say. You guys, like, if anyone goes to Brian Bremer's table and comes away pissed, you need to have them escorted off the premises.
I will say, last year at Frank and Con, I had Sleepaway Camp ruined for me, which is my fault for not watching a movie that was 40 years old, but still.
We definitely don't have time to dig into that. Exactly.
Also, thanks for booking our buddy Brad from Slaughterhouse. Really cool.
Oh, yeah. I kind of know that movie because of you guys, actually. And the movie's great.
Yeah.
And
you're doing a screening.
It's going to be our late night Friday night movie. I'll definitely be there. It's going to be awesome. And that movie is slept on hardcore, because the great thing about it is it's PG-13, and I know people roll their eyes at PG-13 movies, but man, it's just so good. It's so stupid. And
it's a great gateway horror comedy.
Yeah, it's great. A good comedy. I mean, if you want to see a sloth with a samurai sword, that's your
movie. Who doesn't? Who does?
The first 3 minutes, I was rolling. It's great.
My wife is terrified of sloths, and she says it's because they pretend to be slow to lull you in so they can kill you with their giant talons.
This movie confirms that that's true.
And that is my favorite character in Zootopia. So,
yes. Hey, and if you're going to come watch Slaughterhouse, come to the freaking Franken Film Fest right before it. That's going to be a hoot.
That was fun. We did that last year too. My skid mark 1 minute version of Skinamarink.
Which actually like received way better audience reaction than the movie that Shudder sat there and jerked off all over. I mean, much more entertaining for my money. But yeah, it's going to be wild this year. There's a bunch of talent. There's a bunch of just irreverent, nasty, hilarious, gory.
Wiener
phallic thing.
There's a lot of wieners last year.
We have this knack to make people want to make movies about hatcheted up wieners.
Oh, is John Devlin coming with his
part three, baby? Directing a monster.
Yeah, there is actually an award, and I think, you know, I'll just spoil a little bit. There's three in the running for it, and it's the Frankenpeen Award.
Last year I walked away saying, if I had more penis in mine, I might have taken home.
You should have just had a dildo. You like
took one for the team the
instead of whatever I had in. I don't even remember what it was.
One point off for lack of pain.
You could have, instead of Gengar, you had like Gengar sitting there from Pokemon, I think, and you could have just had a wobbly wiener.
See, we're treading towards that point again. So that's going to be a wrap. Go to FrankenCon. We'll be there. Come say hey to us if you want to. You probably don't, but we'll have stickers and buttons and shit. All right, that's it. Signing off. I'm Jay with John, Kellen, TJ, Corey, and Richard. And until next time,
keep it spooky.
Fun times, guys.
Yeah, fun.
Yeah.
Awesome. Yep. That was good. I'm going to go eat dinner because
I can't believe you have a Jess Franco shirt. That's pretty wild.
He made it. To make it.
I'm like, what is the market for a Jess Franco shirt in 2020?
It's very narrow.
I sold one to myself.
Didn't he make
what's your favorite Jess Franco film?
Oh, man. Probably Female Vampire.
I like his Dracula with Christopher Lee.
They're putting out the 4K just came out, and I just got a 4K player. And so I think that's a good justification to buy that disc, but it's like $60 for some reason. Geez.
Yeah.
Female Vampire, I think, is really good. Vampiros Lesbos is way less trashy than it sounds. And I think it's actually a pretty cool retelling of Dracula's story.
Didn't he do Faceless, the one that Severin put out?
Yeah.
The one with the Bridget something with the blonde lady?
Bridget Leahy? Is it Leahy?
That's it, yeah. I saw that Severin had put out two of her movies that were Franco movies.
Well, there was that one. Severin put out two. I think it was Faceless and Female Executioner or something like that. Female
Executioner, yeah.
And then at the same time, like I think it was somebody, I think it may have been Saturn's Core. I can't remember. But somebody put out Through Vinegar Syndrome. I can't even say the name of it because it's in French, but Bridget Leahy, Jess Franco directed. I only made 1,000 copies of it. And I was so disgusted that I tried to get it the next day or like hours after it started, and they were sold out. And our friend Jeff, who buys movies and lets them sit there and not even open them, just to me one day, he's like, you want to buy this? I'm like, for what? And he's like, $40. I'm like, dude, this is like retail. Yeah. So I bought it and I watched it. I was like, it's not his best work. Definitely not.
Not his best.
But at least I know now. Yeah.